Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Veterans Day to everybody. We want to honor our veterans today. I want to thank everybody who served in the military and beyond. My wife and I recently saw a movie called Indispensable. It's about the military chaplains. And it showed what they do and what the women back home do to support them and how they have to go and take care of things. So thank you also to the women who were married to people who served overseas, because you're as much a part of the military as the men there. And we often overlook the women when we talk about military. You know, you go back to the Bible, Deborah formed an army to defeat an enemy. There was a woman named Deborah Sampson who put on men's clothing to fight in the Revolutionary War. She was quite a hero. Women in World War II who helped out and did what they could do to keep the men free. And I just found out that we have a woman in our congregation here that deserves some recognition. Her name is Charmaine Adams, and Charmaine was Soldier of the Year back in 1992. She enlisted. She did her job. She was such a good shot, she was called Trigger Happy Adams. Where the guys could get 8 to 10 rounds off, she got 15 to 20 rounds off with accuracy at the same time. That's no small feat. But it shows how everybody does their part. And by the way, Charmaine, after seeing how well you've come back after fighting the attack the devil gave you on that challenge with the stroke issue and how well you're fighting back, I'd be honored to stand in your platoon. Thank you. You know, if a soldier loses their rifle, the military charges them $500. That's why the captains go down with the ship. We've needed militaries ever since ancient times. Abraham had to go and take his men after defeating another army. He had to go and save his nephew Lot. This is nothing new. It's nothing that's going to stop until Jesus returns. We have to do this. It's part of the world we live in. I was talking to Josh a few months ago, and he said, this is an evil country. He's right. This is an evil country. It's an evil country in an evil world. But it's the best country in this evil world there is, in my opinion.
Amen.
I don't see anybody leaving in droves of tens of thousands to go to Venezuela or to go to Saudi Arabia or to go to China. I don't see that. You know, I see them all coming here. Why? Because this country still has the freedoms that we were built on. This was the one country founded for Christian reasons. Forget all of our troubles, all of our challenges, all of our issues that we have. This is still the greatest country in the world, and I'm honored that God has put me here to be a part of it. You know, Gideon had to fight a war. We've had problems in this country, and they'll talk about it. We had slavery. That's true, we did. We also had a war, the Civil War, to end it. I don't know of any other country that's done that. It shows the caliber of the people in this country. When they see a wrong, they go out and try to right it. Maybe not right away, maybe not fast enough, but they do try to eventually right it. We talk about World War II and the heroism there. All the men and women that did that. Even the challenging wars like Vietnam and the Gulf Wars we've been in, the people that went there did their job with honor, dignity, and they deserve our respect. And I, for one, am honored to be part of this country. I was originally signed up to be in the Marine Corps. I was going to join the Marine Corps Officer Candidate Program. And then I fell down a flight of stairs and tore up my knee. I had a very upset recruiting sergeant. But I'd scored so high on the test, the Army came to me and offered me a shot at military intelligence, which, you know, I grew up in the era of John Wayne and where men were men, you know, the heroes were men. You know, there's a book in the 80s where the manly way to do things is John Wayne in a military uniform kicking in a door with his rifle, you know. And I turned it down. In retrospect, I probably shouldn't have. Because, you know, sometimes things happen in life that change your direction. You need to find out where God wants you to go through. Okay? Now, God didn't push me down the stairs. Okay, that was mine, the devil's fault. But he opened up a door for me that could have been something that I probably should have went through. I didn't see it at the time. Now, what that means to you is we've all made those challenges and mistakes. It doesn't matter. God's opening up another door for everybody right here today. You know how I know it? You're still here. If you didn't have something to do for God, you wouldn't still be here. Everybody here, when you're on the internet, you got something to do for the Lord. You're part of God's army. And that's why we're here. And until Jesus returns, we have a duty to perform. Amen? Okay. You can see at the overview, Semper Fi, always faithful. That's the Marine Corps motto. The body of Christ is the most important army in the history of the earth. Christians should be like the U.S. Marines who are always fighting, preparing to fight. We're fighting spiritual battles so we get set free from the snares of the devil. The motto of the Marines is Semper Fi, which is Latin for always faithful. Are we faithful to God always? Okay. Jesus is coming back sooner than most people think. Christians who are always faithful will prepare for the ending days by drawing closer to God, which results in becoming disciples and being set free from challenges. Okay. Part A, fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Okay. If somebody accused you of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to prove it? Do we walk around like Christians all the time? Okay. You know? Christians be like the United States Marines, always fighting, preparing to fight. Now, ABC has teachings online, or you can get them through Pastor Matthew. I'm going to talk about a lot of things here that if you don't know these teachings, I'm not going to have time to explain them here, but you can get them through the online courses. Okay? They're here for you. This church has done a wonderful job of setting up preparations for everybody. But you got to do your part. So we'll go from there. Okay. Jesus said, choose life abundantly or choose to have the devil steal, kill, or destroy you. Which would you prefer? I got a question for you. Are you living abundantly? Are you abundantly living where God wants you to live? If not, devil is stealing from you. And we need to stop that. We need to take up our spiritual arms and stop him from stealing from us. We need to stop him stopping us from doing what we need to do more for the kingdom of God. Maybe it's physical that your challenges are. Maybe it's financial that your challenges are. Whatever it is, we've got to stop that. Not for ourselves, but we need more for God. Okay? John 10:10 in the New King James. A thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, being Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's God's desire for us, to have life more abundantly. Okay? Choose life better than you've ever imagined it. John 10:10, this is in the Message Bible. A thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than you've ever dreamed of. God wants you to have more. He wants that for you. Our job is to fight for it and get it. It's not going to come if we sit down and do nothing. Okay? Number three, you find an enemy that's already been defeated. Just because they're defeated doesn't mean you stop fighting. Now, for those of you who know, I'm a history buff. And basically, the Japanese were defeated at the Battle of Midway. At the Battle of Midway, sunk four of their carriers. They never again were able to regain control in the Pacific. At that point, we basically won the war. They did not stop fighting for years, though. And it took the atomic bomb to get them to quit. Satan was defeated when Jesus died on the cross. He's not done fighting. He knows he's beaten, but he's not going to go down because he's got nothing to lose. He's already lost everything. And his goal right now is to take as many of us with him as he can. Okay? You wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Know your enemy. Your enemy is a spirit. Your enemy is not that person over there. Your enemy is not something who, for some reason doesn't like you. That's not your enemy. Your enemy is the demon behind all of that challenge and issue going on. Okay? Again, ABC teaches you how to win that. Okay? Number five, you must overcome the god of this world to have dominion over your body, or the devil will take dominion over your body. Okay? This is an ongoing battle. Just because you're saved doesn't mean it's not going to happen to you. Okay? Last week I had a tremendous challenge and attack for my lower back. I still went to work every day. I had to pray on it. My wife and I prayed on it and prayed on it. Finally, last night about 3 o'clock in the morning, we got a victory over it. Okay? But I couldn't quit. I had to keep pushing on. Too many people try a couple of affirmations and give up. I don't care. You keep on until it's done. You don't stop. You push through to the mark, like Paul says. Okay? Okay. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Those minds of God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Okay? And God wants to shine on every single person in this world. Okay? Number six. People are challenged with disease because of lack of knowledge and thinking it's a natural occurrence. Hosea 4, 6. One of my favorite verses. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I, God, will reject you from being priest for me because you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. Now sink that in for a minute. God will forget your children. Okay? For a lack of knowledge. So pick up the Bible. Do your ABC study. Get the knowledge that you need for this battle that you're going into, because we're going into a bigger battle. What you see now is nothing compared to what's coming. What's coming will make World War II, with all due respect to you veterans from World War II and the great job you did there, it'll make it seem like grade school. There are challenges coming down the pike when Satan's going to unleash his final outlash that's going to be horrific, and we need to be ready for it. And it means we need to start training now. You know, if somebody's going to make the NFL, they start training in high school. If somebody's going to be a pro at anything, they start training at a young age. Now is your young age. I don't care what your number is in life. I know we got people here from children's age, I think it's what, 93? 94? 94 today? Congratulations. You know, if you count my dad back in the Lord, it's 98, because he still studies this stuff and does it every day. Okay? All right? Learn. Study. Make yourself ready. The teachings are here. It's going to take some time. Carve it out of your schedule, okay? When you carve it out of schedule, when you have a covenant with God, don't break it. Too many people say things they will do, and they don't do them. Once you've broken a covenant with God, you open yourself up to a lot of attacks of the enemy. We don't want to do that. I'd rather you make a smaller covenant and keep it than a big covenant and fail, okay? Once you set yourself up for fail like that, failure becomes a natural occurrence. We need to go precept upon precept, which we'll talk about in a minute. Okay? Number eight, fight until your victory to overcome your challenges. When that manifestation comes, that's when you quit. You don't quit, you cannot be beaten. You have every resource at your availability for victory. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You have Jesus Christ with you. There is nothing the enemy can do if you learn how to use what you need to do for your victories, whatever the challenges are in your life. It does not matter. Here at this church, we learn how to have victory. Okay? Amen. Okay? Section B, proceed from level to level. You go from glory to glory, precept by precept, line upon line. Isaiah 28:10. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Too many people are trying to hit home runs. Okay? I love it when it happens, but if you're a base hitter, hit a base hit. Hit another base hit. Keep it going. 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 Okay? If you're having a challenge and you get 10% victory, praise God for that 10% victory that you're seeing. And don't say, oh, I didn't get the other 90%. God must not love me. Yes, He does. Okay? The problem is not God, it's always us. Okay, what are we not doing? Now, in talking about lower back challenge I had, that we prayed about, we finally figured out where I was challenged this morning at 3 o'clock. But if we hadn't kept up, we wouldn't have done it. Okay? It was a small thing that I'd opened the door up, which I won't go into because it's personal, to let the enemy attack me. Okay? It was so small, I didn't even think about it. But think about this. How small is a germ to give somebody else outside this group a polio challenge or a challenge of the flu or something like that? They're small. They don't see them. They don't think about them. We have to be diligent in all things. Are you doing your confessing of sins, you know, several times a day? Are you taking communion a couple times a day? Are you doing the things that you're taught here to do? All the things will help keep you out of harm's way. Amen? Okay, number two. Friendship with the world is being an enemy of God. This is James 4:4. This is in the Amplified. You are like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world, breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes a stand as an enemy of God. Okay, now think about this for a second. He's not saying that you're not in the world, you're still in the world. Okay? But you got to make a decision what God wants you to do and what the world wants you to do. And there are places I used to work at where they tell me, you know, it's okay for you to lie to those customers. It's not okay for me to ever lie to anybody. Okay? I had to make a choice. Friend of the world, choose God. They released me. That's fine. God gave me another job. It's okay. All right? Hollywood perverts the minds of people. There was a day when Hollywood was good. When the good guys were good, the bad guys were bad, and the good guys always won, right? Okay? All right? Today, the demons are the good guys. You know? I remember hearing Gene Simmons talk about, Gene Simmons was one of the big leaders in KISS, the rock group KISS, which KISS stands for Knights in Satan's Standing, I believe it is. Service, thank you. Knights in Satan's Service. Thank you for correcting me. He's talking about the demons. And you can see his eyes go dark as he talked about the demons. I'm like, this guy's got it bad. He was proud of it. Okay? And I view Hollywood as having a time change because of the movie The Godfather. And some of you heard me say this before, but repeat it for those of you who haven't. Up until The Godfather, the good guys won. The Godfather, the bad guys became the heroes. I mean, this guy was a monster. He was a mobster. He killed people. He thought nothing of what he would do to get whatever he needed to live in this world. But he was a hero in the eyes of the moviegoers. At that point in time, if you look back, you can see the shift starting to go, where things went downhill from that point on. I met a guy once. He put $35,000 in the original Godfather movie. He never had to work another day in his life. That's how many hundreds of millions of dollars that movie has made. Probably billions by now because it still plays. And then, of course, with the trilogy in there, because one success brings on a second movie and so forth. Okay. My point is that we got to be careful what we put in our eyes. We have to be careful of that. Okay. Now, number three, we're in a battle. Prepare to fight level to level. You've got to be ready for whatever Satan will throw it at you. You've always got to be able, ready to go up to the next level, too. He's got another level. You've got to be ready for it. You've got to be able to do this. You know, I've told the story before how I was bullied. And the bullies wouldn't stop bullying me until I started lifting weights and taking martial arts. I learned how to defend myself. Okay? Then they stopped. Okay? Satan, at level A, will stop, but he'll go to level B. When you go to level B, he'll go to level C. We are on a never-ending, ever-increasing process to continually get good at this war. And if we don't, we will not win ourselves. But what we do here sets a pattern for not only us, but for everybody who sees us. As people see us having victory upon victory, they're going to say, hey, how come you're doing so well? Well, we get to tell them either A, about Jesus Christ, or B, about the teachings of ABC. And these teachings will go worldwide to change this world, because that's what they're designed to do. They're on the internet. They can't fit in this house. Okay? That's why we have an internet. We're going to use what God gave us to bless this teachings going worldwide. Okay? Number four, knowledge sets you free if you continue in the Word, and the Word will set you free. Isaiah 28:8-10. For all the tables are full of vomit and filth, there's no place clean. Whom will he teach knowledge? and whom will he make understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from breast, for precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. We've got to get to more strong meat, people. And there's more meat to come. And you got to look at the military, you know. You got the regular general issue, great people, love them, do their job. Then you got the Green Berets, great people, love them, do their job. Then you go to the Navy SEALs or Delta or whatever the next level. They keep going higher and higher and higher in their trainings. And they tackle bigger and bigger jobs. We are that group here. We are like special. We got to keep going higher and higher in our teachings because we will be the examples and help lots of people. Okay. Number four, A, if you want to be set free, you must become a disciple. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth shall make you free. Not all Christians are free, only those who become disciples of Jesus Christ. It's easy to be saved. Saved is the easy part. Discipling is the hard part. And by the way, Jesus never said, go and save the world. He said, make disciples of all men. Okay? Your job is not just to get them saved. Your job is to make them disciples and teach them what they need to know. Okay? Number B. 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. C, if your days are not joyful and triumphant, then you must get more knowledge of how to be set free from the lies of the devil. Okay? I love talking to the guys from the military. They don't talk about the battles much. They talk about the fun they had, what they did. You know? And that's they had a joyful time. Now, it was a tough time. Don't understand me. They found some way to have some kind of joy in it. You know, the United States is very good about that. We used to send the Bob Hope troops over to entertain the troops and things like that and give them some joy. You know, we found ways to send them movies or something because they needed joy in their life, you know. But we need joy in our life too. It's not all studying. So have some fun with things. God will show you how to have fun with things. We'll get to more of that in just a second, okay. Section number or letter D. Don't oppose yourself by having lack of knowledge, which allows the devil to attack you, okay. 2 Timothy 2, 24-26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Now, one challenge you're going to have when you start talking about ABC things is it's going to be different than what they've ever heard before. Expect them not to just take it hook, line, and sinker. Be ready for it. But what they're doing isn't working. So therefore, you can explain that to them in a calm, kind way. Okay, it's not an argument. You're not here to argue with people. You're here to teach them, to lead them, to show by example. Okay, all right. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, that they may know the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do the devil's will. Okay, Satan's always going to have a battle in their mind. That is the biggest battle we're going to be dealing with. What the other people are thinking, what they've been taught from other Christian ministers who aren't at this level. I don't know of anybody else at this level. That's why we're here, okay? If all of them were at this level, it wouldn't be as big a deal. But when you meet people, you're going to have to explain it to them time and time again. And be ready, be patient. Because you're looking at things that are outside the box. God is outside the box. Devil wants to keep everybody inside the box because he can control the box. He can't control us because we're outside the box. Amen? Okay. Section E, or letter E. Take a step towards God so he can take a step towards you. James 4:8, draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. We must be single-minded with God and keep pushing on toward him. We're not at Pastor Joshua's level yet. He's ahead of us, no question about it. He spent a lot more time researching. But we can do what we can do to get better. Continuously, never ending. Okay. F, speaking the word of God through affirmations is doing the level of spiritual warfare using the sword of the Spirit. Titus 3:8. This is the faithful saying these things that I want you to affirm constantly. Keyword constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have to know how to use our weapon. Our weapon is not a rifle in this case. Our weapon is the Spirit, the word of God. This is the sword that we use. Now, you remember the old Zorro movie from about 10, 15 years ago with Antonio, but forget his last name, Banderas, thank you, you know. And Antonio Banderas is mad because his brother was murdered by somebody who's an excellent sword player. And he runs into the other guy who's going to teach him how to fight. Antonio says, all I do is stick this sword into the other man. And he pulls the sword out. And the old guy has a mop and takes the mop and proceeds to beat him with a mop because he knew how to use the mop to beat him. Okay, he knocks the sword out of his hand, and then he beats him. And the guy's in shock because he had the better weapon, but he didn't know how to use it. Okay, you got the greatest weapon in the world right here. We have to know how to use it. Okay, you have to know how to load it, how to have ammunition in it. You don't have to do things that you need to do with it. Okay, by the way, if you have a rifle that doesn't have any bullets in it, you know what it is? It's a club. Okay. Don't take the book and try to beat somebody with it. Use the words inside, okay? All right, great. Faith must be released through action and word. We often call it hearing and doing here at ABC, okay? Mark 11:22-25. Now, this is in the King James Version. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Okay, do we have faith in God? Really? Okay. Does it wane once in a while? When it does, go right here. For verily I say unto you, whoever saith unto this mountain, I don't know what your mountain is, but speak to it. If it's debt, it's a physical challenge, doesn't matter. Speak to it. Be thou removed and cast into the sea and not doubt, keyword not doubt. Where? In your heart. Because the devil's playing tricks in your mind. He wants you to think that it's not working, but in your heart you know it is, okay? But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, and shall have whatever, whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto whatever soever you desire, I have a challenge with the old English. It's like these kids today with their apps. They can't read a book. I can't read their apps, but... Whatsoever ye desire, now the key word there is desire, whatever you desire, healing, prosperity, whatever it is, okay, closer to God, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them, okay, and when ye stand praying, this is keywords here, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father, who is also in heaven, will forgive your trespasses, okay, you all must also walk in a level of forgiveness, like Jesus forgave everybody at the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they've done. No matter what's been done to you, it doesn't matter. You have to forgive them. And I mean forgive them from your heart and say that. I forgive this person from my heart for what he did to me. And I bless this person to, and whatever you want to bless him with. If he doesn't know the Lord, bless him to get to know the Lord and hear the truth in some way. But you bless that person. The way I got over the trials of the bullies, I started praying for them and blessing them. That thing haunted me for decades, what they used to do to me. But one day the Lord said, you got to bless them. So I started praying for them. I found out recently that one of them died. And my heart was, I hope he made it into heaven. I had no animosity toward him in any way, shape, or form anymore. I say, God, I hope he made it into heaven. I pray again that this person made it into heaven because God answered our prayers before we speak them. Okay? We have to walk in forgiveness. See, God has a contract with us. Well, contract takes both sides. You got to do your part, he'll do his. If you don't do your part, he's not obligated to do his. Okay? All right. H. The word of God changes us from glory to glory. Now, the word from glory to glory, I want you to use the word victory from victory. Okay? God will change us from victory to victory. Okay? 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed the image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? We can continue having victory and victory and victory. Okay. Section C, justified by your words. Well, the first thing they teach here at ABC is how to handle your words. That the word is the most powerful thing in the universe. That God made the heavens and the earth and did everything by His word. He spoke it into being. We're all familiar with the phrase, let there be light, and light was. Okay? Great. By your words are justified out of your mouth. Matthew 12:37. For yours will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. So you got to be careful with the words that you are saying. People who speak condemning words of other people will be condemned. Our words must also be loving and gratifying. Thank you. Excuse me. Our words should be loving and encouraging at all times. And there's a way to do that with almost everybody. You know, I was talking to a mechanic one day. He said, I'm just a mechanic. I says, so you get people safely to where they need to go. He lit up a little bit. Yeah, he does an important job. If he doesn't do his job right, people die. Mm-hmm. Think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do is important to someone, somewhere, somehow. Okay? Mm-hmm. If you're the smallest ball bearing in a tank, and that tank turret doesn't turn, that tank is useless. Now, God knows how you fit in the whole picture. Your job is to find out what you're supposed to do and do it to the best of your ability at all times. Okay? Number two, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing to God. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Okay. Number three, when the demons hear the word of God, it's like pouring hot water on them. Pray the petition prayer, the prayer of faith, one time. That's back to Mark 11:24. We go back to that for the petition prayer, the prayer of faith, okay? But then you affirm it again. Number four, then affirm the word of God many times to see the change. Okay? Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying. These things I want you to affirm consistently. Those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. We affirm the word of God consistently, continuously, never ending over that situation, whatever it is. Keep speaking the word of God over it. Because you know what? The devil's speaking his word over it the other way. He will find somebody to come against you and speak the word of God against you. You have to speak the word of God against that word coming against you. Okay? Don't be mad at the person. Be mad at the demon behind the person causing him to make those things happen. Okay? Now, as you know, I like business. I went to a company called Coca-Cola. I'm sure everybody here has heard of that name. Anywhere in the world that you have to be listening to. Okay. What made Coca-Cola different than all the other soda pops around the turn of the 20th century? It was their advertising. Others said, we taste better. Coca-Cola had pictures of people having a good time drinking a Coke. Their thing, they show people having a party in a Coke. It's the real thing. And they did it over and over and over and over until people, when they went to the store, they says, well, that may taste better, they say, but this has fun. And subconsciously went and grabbed the Coke and had fun and made Coke one of the biggest, most successful companies that's ever been in the world today. Why? Because they said, this is fun, over and over and over and over. You know, when I had my Subway restaurants, we had a budget, and our job was to keep that name out there in front of people. So when they got hungry, they thought of Subway. Now, one of the guys in Chicago, just before Michael Jordan signed with them, was smart enough to sign the banner that sat in front of where the speakers are, the sportscasters are. So every time the camera went back and forth where the speakers were, they ran up and down, Subway, 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 Subway. So we made lots of money because this guy did that. It didn't matter where you were because everybody was watching the Chicago Bulls because Michael Jordan was there and they were winning like unbelievably, and we got great advertising because of constant, never-ending repetition. So my point to you is, when you use the Word of God, constant, never-ending repetition, the Word of God works. You keep speaking it into being. There's no one in the Bible says speak it one time and never say it again. I'm not saying you pray a second time for anything. I didn't say that. I say you speak the Word of God over this time and time and time again. And it works. Okay. Three steps of cycle change will set you free. Renew your mind by studying the Word of God. Deposit the Word of God into your heart by acting on it. Speak the Word of God to set your soul free. Okay? You do those things and you will have victory upon victory, precept upon precept, continuously. Okay? Number six. Now, some of this is a new affirmation. Some of you know this, but this is an affirmation that is the primary one we start with here at ABC. In the name of Jesus, God has given me all the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Now, if God has given you the words of your mouth and meditations of your heart, let's think about this for a second, okay? You will not have an argument with your spouse. If you're speaking the Word of God, you will not have these challenges. So when you're not having, when you're having challenges, you're outside of the Word of God. And I can attest to this because I haven't made that mistake myself a bunch of times, okay? All right? So keep that in mind. Lord, how do you want me to answer this situation? And the devil wants you to answer fast. You know, we're taught to respond quickly, you know? The Bible says, stop and think of what you're going to say. Does this line up with the Holy Spirit? How should I respond to this person? Okay. Do I respond at all? There's one guy in my office that he has a challenging personality. And sometimes I just don't even say a thing to him. He makes his, I just go and do my work and ignore him. Sometimes that bothers him more than my comments, but that's okay. At least I'm not putting fuel on the fire. Okay. If the words of your mouth, the meditation of your heart line up with the Word of God, you will solve a lot of your problems in dealing with everybody around you. Be it supervisors, people on the same level, people under you, whatever it is. Anybody you meet in the street. The words of your mouth and meditation of your heart line up with the Word of God. Okay? Number seven, what leads you to sin? Number one is your tongue, because nobody can control the tongue. Well, the Holy Spirit can help you control the tongue. Number two is your eyes, and number three is your feet. Okay? Be careful what you say, what you look at to put into your eyes, and where you go that can cause you trouble. Okay. A while back, there was a girl that went into a wrong place and was severely attacked. It was a horrible thing. And my comment was, she shouldn't have been there in the first place. And somebody said, well, she's got the right to go there. She has the right to go there, but it wasn't a very smart thing to do. Just because you have the right to go somewhere doesn't mean it's smart. Okay? Use your feet. Don't drive someplace you shouldn't be. Okay? The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you. You won't get in trouble. Okay? Number eight, how to set free from the sins of the eyes. Break curses over the eyes. Do affirmation over the eyes. And three, witness your eyes. If you've seen something that's causing you to sin, break curses over it. Do affirmations over it to get it out of your mind. And three, witness them. Because the devil will constantly replay that in your mind. He's very good at that. He'll replay that. This is how you get that out. You want that out. You want your heart and mind to be concentrated on the Word of God only. Okay? D, always faith-filled. Semper Fidelis, abbreviated Semper Fi, is Latin for always faithful. The motto of the Marines. Latin words means faith. Faithful, loyal is the same word. Number two, Christians who get set free are the faithful ones who attend church. You know, it's very important. Even when Pastor Karen and I go away somewhere, we always endeavor to stream here. If we can't, my 90-year-old father does not have Wi-Fi. We try to go to a church. If we can't, we have church ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we're pastors. We can do that. And my dad loves it when we do that. So, number three. I have trouble with the Latin. Attesta fidelis latte triumphus means, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Love the song. Okay, number four. Atteste is a command, which means go towards God joyfully and triumphant. If you are doing what God wants you to do, just go joyfully. You don't have to worry about the outcome. You're going joyfully toward God, okay? Don't wait until then to increase your commitment level towards God. Now, many people do that. Well, when God answers my prayer, I'll do more. No, The answer is do more now. Commit to Him totally, 100%. Keep doing that because that's when He responds back to you. Okay? Number six, start by getting the sins of the eyes out and accomplish because sight accompanies sin. Number seven, prepare by getting set free because the Lord is coming back soon. I cannot stress this enough. You do not want to be on the wrong side when God comes here. You want to be, hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Am I correct in saying everybody wants to hear that?
Amen.
Correct in saying nobody wants to not hear that? Nobody wants to hear you slothful, lazy servant. Nobody wants to hear that, do they? I don't think so. I think I'm pretty safe in that one there. If you do, please call. We'll correct you on that. Number eight, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life, and guard your eyes. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of your life. Okay? If you have hatred, animosity towards anybody, you've got to get rid of it. If you've got offense toward anybody in your heart, you've got to get rid of it. That's why we forgive people from their heart. We forgive you from our hearts. You must do. Now, I'm going to pull all this together here in a nutshell. I told about how I didn't go through the door to be in military intelligence, but God opened up another door, and I'm fine with that, okay? And whatever doors have been closed for you so far, to whatever age you are, it doesn't matter, because God's opened up a new door right now for you, okay? Have you ever said to God, God, why don't you do something about? Maybe it's abortion. Maybe it's children that have single parents. Maybe it's prostitution or porn that you see around. Maybe it's the bad stuff in the movies that you see. Or world hunger, or racism, or X, or Y, or Z. Have you ever said, God, why don't you do something about that? God has a response for you. He says, I did. I made you. This is about hearing and doing. We've got to do our part, okay? Now, it doesn't mean you've got to go out and save the world. It means you got to hear God's voice and do what He tells you to do. Daryl Davis is a black man. He's a blues musician. He has a fascinating testimony. I don't know if he's Christian because I haven't found that much about him, but his results are amazing. He likes to meet people from the Ku Klux Klan and shake their hands and talk to them. And in doing that, he has taken 200 people out of the Ku Klux Klan and made them not racially biased anymore. He is doing something against racism because he says, you know what? It's not me arguing in their face that they're wrong. It's me showing them that we can be friends regardless of the color of our skins. 200 people. Amazing. In his spare time. 200 people. If every Christian did something like that to 50 people, this world would be a different place today. I'm not saying stand up in front of an abortion clinic and say, you're going to hell. That doesn't work. That just offends them. You don't want to offend them. But there was a gentleman who wanted to do something one day. So in the summertime, he got a bunch of little presents. And every woman or girl walking in that clinic, he says, here, give this to your baby on Christmas Day. Not a one of those women murdered their child. A very kind and loving act. God has a way to get through to anybody. Now, everyone here has something that you're saying, God, why don't you do something about that? But you don't know where to begin. Start in prayer. Put a half an hour of prayer a day, three or four times a week toward that, and see what God does for you. See what idea God gives to you. It may not be something huge and astronomical. Maybe something simple, saying, walk up and shaking hands with somebody and saying, you know what? You don't know me. But let's bridge this gap. And we're not going to offend each other. And if the person rejects you, you go on to the next one. Whatever it is, God wants us to start turning things around. And the more you do that, the more they'll see Christ in you And then we'll say, how come you're so unique and different? And you can point them back to the ABC schools where they can learn how to do it for themselves. And this will carry on until Jesus returns. So your mission is to ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that I can do for you? About a problem that's already bothering you. The reason it bothers you is because He's already put it on your heart. And start praying about it. And pretty soon, you'll have an answer. And it'll be something that you can do. God will never give you something you can't do. He's not going to tell the average person to go out there and build a cathedral. Tell the average person to do something that they can do. Or as Pastor John tells the story, he had to bake a cake for somebody one time. Something simple. We don't know how far that will go, but God does. But this church tells us to be hearers and doers, to hear and obey. And you know what? I'll guarantee you this. When General MacArthur told anybody in his army to do something, nobody said, that's not my job, sir. Okay? So in closing, thank you all for being in the army of God with me. I'm honored to serve with each and every one of you, including you on the internet and those I haven't known, haven't met yet. But let's take this day. We thank the military for what they're doing. Copy their examples of what good they can do. Let's advance the army of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.